Yeah, you know, our leaderboard is limited right now, and so that tells you right now, basically, filing expense inside of Equus Financial is for anybody's picking. Anybody who wants to dominate in that space can dominate right now. That's the reason we put this call together. That's why we get together every week. We're trying to get this train of filing expense going, not because the train needs us to get it going. Quite honestly, that train is already rolling inside of the industry. The industry is a ginormous industry in the world of life insurance. Filing expense is a ginormous industry. Inside of Equus Financial, however, we got people who just need to change some thinkings and open up to that opportunity. And that's why we do this call, because we're looking for those people. And it just starts with one. It just starts with one. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish here is get people thinking about filing expense, get people doing filing expense, get people growing and recruiting in the filing expense space, and give it its due respect, because here's the thing about filing expense. It's going to get sold. It's just a matter of who sells it. It's going to get distributed. It's a matter of, is it going to be being distributed through you or through somebody else? But it's going to keep going. So just think about that. If you want to grow, man, I'm going to tell you what, never been a better time to do it right now than because you will be able to jump ahead of a lot of folks. So that's just my little soapbox for the day before we dive into why we're here. Before we get to DD, though, let's just kind of quickly go over our leaderboard of folks who went out and helped some filing expense families with some filing expense policies and took care of their people. Mr. Dave Hartman wrote one app for $475 AP. Congrats, David, for stepping up. Myself, Tommy Averett, two apps for $1,749 in AP. And I'm going to tell you what, I can't wait to get Christopher Partlow on this call. Christopher has been very consistent with his production, and Christopher led the team this week with production of four apps for $5,825 in AP. Christopher, that is a strong week in the world of filing expense. $5,800 is very good, solid production, and I got to say I'm very proud of Chris for stepping up and leading the team in such a strong way. So congrats to you, Mr. Number One. So that being said, Dee Dee, are you out there? Dee Dee Carter.
Hello, I had to unmute myself. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, I'm famous for like talking for 2 or 3 minutes before I realized I never unmuted myself and having to start all over. People on this call can tell you can vouch for that. But so Dee Dee, I want to say number one, thank you for taking the time out to join us on this call and share with us everything you're going to share today. Dee Dee, I'll say this, my clients could tell you, once I get a hold of somebody, I don't let them go. So I'm going to get as much as I can get out of you today, because I know you have a lot to share. I've listened to you on calls in the past, and you always bring it, you always deliver. So hopefully you got at least a good 30, 40 minutes, because we usually go about 30 minutes with this call, but when I get somebody special on like you, we may fudge the clock a little bit and go a little bit over. But so Dee Dee, for starters, this kind of got generated. John and I were talking, and John's like, because we know we're always looking for guests, and he's like, Dee Dee had a great week this week, and she's got some great stories to tell. So as you know, I jumped on right quick and got you on the call, and so I'm excited. But Dee Dee, if you would, so I'm gonna tell you what kind of I've always, you and I don't really know each other a lot personally, but I've always kind of watched you from a distance. You know, I'm always picking up on people that are strong producers, and listening to your calls in the past, I was like, I relate to this girl. The way you think about filing expense, the way you take pride in it, and your military background. I was an Air Force veteran myself, and so all those things kind of just ring bells with me. And I've always kind of been looking forward to having you on this call. But if you would, Dee Dee, kind of maybe let's start this off with, for those, there's probably some new folks on the call that maybe haven't heard your story before. And if you could just kind of give maybe a quick thumbnail about your background, how you got to Equus, and if you would include in that, what drew you to Final Expense? You know, because I think people need to see kind of where you're coming from, and then I want to talk about kind of what happened this past week. So if you would, Dee, just kind of get us started with a little bit of background on you.
Okay, well, first of all, good morning to everyone. Thank you all for taking time out of your schedule to come on and listen to Tommy and I. I really appreciate it. And I'm actually clapping for everyone that went out and helped families this week, especially with, you know, the times that we're going through now with the COVID-19. And Tommy, thank you for your service as well. So to answer your question, before I started doing Final Expense, when I was in the military, once I got out, I did one tour in Iraq in 2003, and I came home, and then I went to the reserves. And while I was in the reserves, I got my degree through the 9/11 GI Bill for business. Because I already had experience in human resources, but I was just putting in for different government jobs, and then you know how long they take. So finally, someone saw my resume and called me and asked me, "Do I want to make $500 per person?" So I was like, "Okay, well, I'll try it." And you know, I've been in the insurance industry ever since. That was 7 years ago. I did not start off with Final Expense at first. I actually joined another mortgage protection, IMO, but I did that for a year, and I left there. Let's just say that I don't want to complain and say my upline didn't help me, but I just really wasn't getting the nurturing that I needed to explode the way that I wanted to, and it just forced me back financially to go back to finding a job. And then when I heard about my call in Securus, I actually was looking online, and another person called me from my resume, and you know, they said, "Well, I know you have insurance background. We're doing Final Expense." And I said, "Okay, well, I never did that before, but, you know, I like working with the seniors," because I was raised by my grandmother. So, you know, just being around seniors is just a blessing in itself. So I was like, "Okay, well, I'll try that." And, you know, that manager, we did our own little Final Expense thing, and that manager did some deceitful things that caused him his license. And, long story short, we were joined on Mike Hall's team back when he was with the other Final Expense agency. So, you know, we did Final Expense for a while, and then they went south and he found Equus. So it was back to mortgage protection, which I didn't have the experience like I wanted to, but I had dipped my toe in it a little bit. So I was like, I just felt like I was going back and forth. So joined Equus with Mike Hall and his team, and, you know, just got the training from Bill and Rob like we all do. And, you know, went out and helped families like I was supposed to. I dialed the phone, and when I couldn't get them on the phone because of my door knocking experience, I just door knocked the people in order, you know, just to gain that extra access. So I was just starting with mortgage protection. I was just blessed to be able to have the experience of Final Expense and not being afraid to knock on the doors. So fast forward to last year, when Equus was trying to launch Final Expense, they had asked me to help or train everyone on it because of my experience with Final Expense. So I said, sure. I was given 40 leads. They were 2015. They were back from 2015, and they gave them to me. And just to, you know, get the activity and to show someone, you know, basically the technique and how to do it. And out of those 40 leads that was 4 years old, I think I pulled out $11,000 from that. So once they finally decided to give us standing lead orders for final expense, I did that and put in a standing lead order for final expense. So all of my income from last year was, 75% of it was final expense, because the first 3 months I did mix in a little mortgage protection. And last year was my highest income earning. So right now what I'm doing is, they had mortgage protection open up in my backyard, in my area. So I do have a small standing lead order for mortgage protection, but I'm also running final expenses. Well, I just want to stay sharp on both ends. And excuse me, you all, my allergies are getting me today.
I can totally relate. It's been hitting me this week as well. So these days, it makes you nervous anytime you get sick of anything. But so you, is it safe to say that you have a stronger comfort level with final expense and you enjoy it more? You know, is that a safe statement?
Yes, I would say that's a very safe statement.
So, so let's kind of lead into, because the initiation for this call was, you know, for all kind of reasons, but obviously you had a strong week last week, and I think it's going to be a good jumping off point to kind of talk about, you know, what can happen in final expense that is very different. You know, one thing I've learned in my 12 plus years of it is a lot of unique situations can be created inside of final expense that aren't necessarily normal to the mortgage protection world. And one of those is referrals. Referrals, for some reason, just are a lot, come a lot more in quantities with final expense and necessary mortgage protection. People are more willing to give referrals. And so, obviously, this past week, you had a strong week, wrote six apps for basically $6,300 in annualized premium. And my understanding is you have a special story about referrals that helps you with some of that success. So why don't you share with us maybe how this week went?
Okay, so John Kite gave me the pleasure of allowing his son, John, to ride with me. And, you know, I told him, I said, look, there's a lot of people that are taking final expense leads. And, you know, they are making scripts and everything, and they're calling the people. And I was like, I'm not going to teach you that, because I have zero experience doing that. and, you know, I just, you know, I'm not saying that I can't learn how to do that, but in order for you to, you know, learn and watch me, I just can't teach you something that I've never had experience doing. So what we're going to do is we're just going to pray, and we're going to do it the regular old-fashioned way. We're going to take our mask and our gloves and our sanitizer, and, you know, we're just going to be sensitive to their needs. If they don't want us to come in, or if they rather us put on a mask or stand back or whatever they want us to do, that's fine. We're just there to give them the information. So we just go, you know, take a shot at it and see what we can do. And, you know, he was all good with that. John has a very good spirit about everything. So we went around to our first house, and before we could even spit it out, the guy just was like, come on in. And he was just walking to the living room. He had no idea what we came there for or anything. So we built rapport, and after talking to him, the close, the way that he was able to close himself, really, is basically we got into the conversation that he had group term insurance. So he understood that that was going to end once he retires. He had to bury his wife. And he knew the cost associated with that. And he pretty much closed himself because that's what he wanted. You know, he just knew what the cost was. So I asked him, do you want, you know, for budget purposes, do you want me to start it off at $8,500 or, you know, or do you think you want to start off with something lower? Because anything is better than nothing. And I just was trying to, I was just taking his temperature, and he was like, well, honestly, I think I'm going to need at least 10. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? I agree with you, because the longer you live, the more the prices are going to go up. So I gave him a quote for $10,000, $12,500, and $15,000. And I told John that I'm really uncomfortable with giving someone a quote where one of the quotes is, one of my quotes at least have to be $60 or $70. It doesn't matter if it's the cheapest one, the middle one, or the most expensive one, but I like to have my quote somewhere between $60 and $70 because that's what I found my average premium to be. But because he was a smoker and he was, I want to say he was like 61, I believe. The $10,000 was $91, and that was the cheapest quote. So I was a little uncomfortable. So before I gave him the quote sheet, you know, I told him, you know, if this doesn't work in your budget, we can always start with something lower, you know, and then you can get some more later, because anything is better than nothing to help your daughter. And he was like, I understand. So I passed it to him, and he looked at it, and he was like, okay, well, yeah, I can handle the $10,000. So we wrote him the plan. And after that, you know, I just kind of did a cool down with him, and he called his daughter, and I talked to his daughter and told her to call me, you know, if something happens, but I don't want her to call me for a long time to use the policy. So we kind of joked around, and I made sure she had my phone number. The second person that we went to, they did not let us in the house. He had bronchitis, but we did a porch conversation, and I did let John do the presentation, so, or at least start the presentation, and we just agreed that I would, you know, critique him, and I think he did an amazing job. I didn't have to do anything as far as adding in anything. The only thing I did was I did have to stop and be direct with the wife, because she kept saying that, well, the $10,000 that I wanted for my husband was $50, and I can't afford that. So while John was doing the presentation, I did a quote, and lo and behold, his $10,000 was going to be $50. So I just stopped right there, because, you know, we could go see other people if they already had something else in place, but it wasn't the right type of coverage. And what I mean by that is she had Colonial Penn, and they just got it last month. And based on what she told me, she was too healthy to have Colonial Penn, because Colonial Penn is a guaranteed issue, and it doesn't start. They have to pay into it for 2 years first before it starts. He had an increase in term policy through Globe. And even though it started off at $25, the rate was going to go up every 5 years. And then it was going to expire at age 75. She said 90, but it's actually 75. It can be renewed to age 90. But anyway, so right when I found that out, just so we wouldn't waste any more time, because if they was going to keep what they had just because of price, I wanted to know that fairly early, so that way, you know, we can shake hands and we can go and see someone else. One thing about me, I like to get the reason why I'm here out the way first, and I like to see what their need is, and I just like to get a feel for if, you know, if I can help them or not up front. Instead of, if I'm there for 3 hours, that's fine if I'm helping them, but I don't want to be there for 3 hours and then find out we can't do anything. So I stopped John and I was like, well, Sharon, to be honest, I know you just said that you can't afford $50 for him to have the $10,000 whole life. But I just looked at our program and it is $52 a month for him to have the $10,000 through our program. You know, because we already discussed what type of policies y'all already have. You know, it's fine if you want to keep what you have. I'm just letting you know what you do have. And she was like, well, you know, it makes a difference what you have versus what they were offering me, because I just didn't want to pay the $52 with them, because, like you said, it was a 2-year waiting, and it just makes a difference that, you know, my family actually has a person that they could call when something happens. And I do like to plan it out, because Assurant has those little detailed planners where you could give people. And, you know, she just really liked the service part of it. So she said it was worth the price. So, you know, we went ahead and did it, helped him out, and he got approved and she got approved. And then they was talking about mortgage protection, which is, a lot of people ask me, why do I switch back and forth? Because we have mortgage protection clients that, you know, think they have final expenses taken care of, but they don't. And then we have final expense clients that still owe money on their mortgage. So I like to, you know, just keep the pencil sharp on both ends. So, you know, I have his medications and his information, and he wants me to call him back to give him a mortgage protection plan or something to help her with the house when he passes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was about to.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, so, I mean, I know you got some referrals out of this. Just for the sake of time here, I got some things I want to cover, but I wanted to, you know, maybe just jump ahead to the part about the referrals. So, because obviously the way you get referrals is your personality and your listening skills. I can tell you have very good listening skills because of your ability to recall details. So that, I know that has a lot to do with it. But talk about the referrals, that, you know, how you switched into referrals, and just kind of touch on the referrals part.
Well, this is going to surprise you. I don't do much with referrals. Like you said, I just, after I build a good rapport with them and help them with what they need, I just ask them, who do you know that would need a service like this? Or, you know, or do you know of anyone that would need something like this? And then I ask them, even if you think they have coverage, do you think they need a review? Do you think that they know what they have? I can at least look at it and see. Sometimes, most of the time, people say no, they don't know anyone, but every now and then they give me someone. And the last application was actual referral. He actually stayed there with them, but he wasn't even listening to us. And I kind of just looked around and talked to him, and he didn't know about his policy and everything. So I reviewed it for him, and he had a 2-year waiting period as well. And we were actually able to get him level benefit too. So, you know, I just think that if I don't ask that question, then maybe he would have still been paying on the 2-year plan versus having immediate benefit.
So, I got several areas that are kind of key that I wanted to make sure we got out, because I want some people to take away some good nuggets. So strong week with the 6 apps and 6300. Obviously you transition from one product to the next very smoothly. And like you say, you don't make a big deal out of it. You just, every time you see an opportunity, you just move on it, which I think is a key thing for people to take away from that. Talk about your so obviously I think with agents, they struggle with consistency. You know, they don't have a consistent routine, a consistent schedule or whatnot. So just kind of briefly touch on your weekly routine. Like, how do you run your week? What's your week to week focus? How is it you go about achieving your goals week to week? What's the part that you just repeat over and over and over again?
Getting out of the door. It used to be 10 o'clock. I was trained for 10 o'clock, but basically after your conference call. So on Mondays, we have the 11 o'clock webinar. So honestly, by the time Barry hangs up the call, I like to, already sit in the area of my first house and working all the way until 8 o'clock. I know that a lot of people was training to work until old dark 30, but even if it's January or July, I still work until 8. A lot of times in the wintertime, when it's dark and cold, people aren't going to make you stand outside. They're going to tell you to come in. And then in the summertime, you need that extra time because people are busy and out and about, you know, so you need to give yourself a whole lot of time in a day to get to as many people as you can. Also, not only outdoor knocking from, I would say, noon until 8 p.m., but also doing that 3 to 4 consecutive days in a row is also key. After those 3 to 4 days, because the goal is to get 12 sits or at least 5 applications. After that, then what you want to do is just, you know, make sure you're prepared. I think being prepared is also key as well. John, this week saw that we was a little unprepared the first day, but, you know, had I been prepared like I am normally, you know, we could have saved a couple of hours and maybe saw enough, you know, a couple more people or got in a couple of more sits. But, you know, so basically, Tommy, it's simple. You carve out a time for your family. You go out from at least noon to 8 p.m. 3 to 4 days consecutively and make sure you're prepared the days that you're not out in the field to go out again the next day. Next week.
So what I'm hearing is you work until you hit your goals, however long it takes, it sounds like to me.
Right. Yep. So it's either 12 sits or 5 applications.
And usually one takes care of the other. you sit right. 12 hours, yeah. You're writing 5 apps. That's pretty much what it boils down to there. I want to talk about this. Let's see. Look. So, you know, we got a little time here. One thing we want to do is wanting to grow. Okay. So, growth means talking to people. Okay. And, you know, John talks a lot about warm market recruiting, and I can tell you, you're a person that probably is going to do well in warm market recruiting yourself. But one thing that I've always found, in my experience with the industry is, if you look at a lot of companies' leaderboards, you'll see that at least half of the leaderboard, if not more, tends to be women. So women do well in final expense. But yet, at the same time, sometimes when folks are out recruiting, they're a little bit hesitant to maybe recruit women because they're thinking maybe because some of the markets that we work in, some of the houses that we go in, some of the areas that we work in, that maybe from time to time women may not feel comfortable doing that. So what I would really appreciate is if you would talk from a female perspective about the final expense market and what is it when you're talking to other women from your perspective, what is it you share about why final expense is a good market for the females to work in?
Honestly, I was just talking to someone about this about two days ago. I think that especially women, when you go into, you know, outdoor knocking and you see the single women, you know, maybe in their 70s or 80s, I think if a woman comes to the door, they're a lot more likely to, you know, want to let us in the door because they're more comfortable. You know, that's an example that I could think of. Another reason is, honestly, I would say that when we're building rapport, we tend to be a little bit more genuine as far as when we talk about the children or grandchildren, just because we're mothers or grandmothers too. So, you know, not that men, you know, don't care about children and grandchildren, but it's just, I would say just a female or motherly instinct to, you know, get warm and fuzzy when we talk about children and grandchildren. So I think on that aspect, we kind of connect with the clients a little more deeply, I would say. Other than that, Tommy, I don't think women have an advantage over men other than those two aspects, that maybe the single women feel more comfortable letting us in, and also, well, you know, just talking about children and grandchildren. But go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, I agree 110% with you. I think women have the characteristics that you just shared are spot on. Obviously, that's why women do well in this business. Well, I guess what I was asking is, from a male perspective, if I am speaking to a female that maybe they respond to one of our, you know, requests for resumes or whatnot, and maybe in the back of my mind, I'm hesitant about recruiting a female because I'm thinking she's going to be concerned about her safety, you know, out and about. So I guess where I'm going is, from your perspective, if you're talking to a female, what is it you're going to share with them? Why they're going to do well, and they don't have to worry about working in one. I don't know if my question is making sense, but no. I'm wanting to address the point of why women may be reluctant to work in final expense and why they shouldn't be.
Okay, well, you're making sense, and I'm sorry that I did misunderstand your question at first, or maybe that was just a part of it. Honestly, Tommy, you know, from, of course, I'm not a male, but from a male's perspective, I can see why people will be a little hesitant in recruiting a woman into doing final expense, just because of the nature of the business and the concerns for safety. I 100% would just be upfront and honest about it. I would just go ahead and let the elephant out the room and let her decide, you know, if it's something that she wants to do or not, you know, instead of, basically what I'm saying is just, you know, telling her about the opportunity and then just telling her what we have to do, you know, to help the clients and to make money. And then just give her a moment and let her, you know, process it a few minutes and see if that's something she wants to do. You know, just being direct about it would be my best answer.
And I think that's a great answer. I think that's the answer, quite honestly. And I kind of wanted people to hear that is, it's only going to be an issue if the person's looking for an excuse. It's kind of like us when we're out there selling and door knocking, and people will come up with any excuse in the world if they don't want to meet with you, you know, but if they do want to meet with you, there's nothing going to keep them from meeting with you. So it's the same thing with recruiting. If they're looking for an excuse to get out, then they're going to come up with an excuse, but if not, they're going to be people like you who just see the opportunity and take advantage of it. So I think that's, you validated what I was thinking. You just validated, and that's awesome. And I think that's a great point to share. So, lastly, Dee Dee, I think this would be great for people from your perspective with filing expense. You've been doing it a long time now. If you go back to when you first started and you fast forward to now, what would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned, and maybe also the biggest adjustments that you've made, that have led to your success? if somebody said, hey, what's that one thing, that one takeaway I can get from your experience, Dee Dee, what would it be?
Can I give like two?
Yeah. Or three? As many as you want.
Okay. The first thing is, don't ever, 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 ever sway away from doing that presentation. I'm going to say from my experience, when you first get started with, you know, when you really get focused and, you know, you say, okay, I'm prepared, meaning I have all of my leads together and they're routed and, you know, I'm going to do this. I got all of my supplies. And when you do the, in the beginning, you know, you just want to do everything right. You want to do everything that you're taught to do. And you do that presentation because, you know, you don't know to do anything else. But then when you get a little experience, you want to graze over it and sometimes not even do it at all. And you're going to watch your numbers fall to the floor. And then you say, you know, then you might get a little frustrated and say, I don't know what's going on. And then you pick that presentation back up and your numbers rise again. So my point is don't ever, ever, ever stray away from using that presentation. Secondly, at least give yourself that bare minimum 8 hours a day to door knock. You know, don't cut corners and don't go in early. You know, don't get out in the field at 2 or 3 o'clock in the day. Give yourself plenty of time, consecutive days, to do it. And no matter how frustrating things can seem, you're always one door knock away from helping, you know, from helping the person that needed you to come in the first place.
Well, that is so true, Dee Dee. I tell you, this business, it's amazing how you can be in a hole and you can be in a frustrated, dark place for the week or whatever, and how either one day or one appointment can just completely change everything about your week and about your month. And it's just it's crazy how this business I mean, you can be going into Friday with a bad week and all of a sudden just have 3 or 4 appointments back to back to back, and they're all lay downs and you know, all. But the key is what you said is, it's two things. It's stick to that presentation and follow it all the way through, but also it's the numbers of the business, and stick to your numbers and see your numbers all the way through as well, because the numbers all are the numbers and they will work out. You just got to complete the numbers. And that's kind of where you're talking about working your whole 8 hours. You know, don't cut those 8 hours short, because it may be those last two houses that you go see that you write all your business in. And Dee Dee, this is some good stuff. I could sit here and ask questions. I love talking to people like you, because, you know, it's such a valuable experience for people to hear. People have been in the industry for a while, and their take on everything. And I could sit here and interview for 2 hours. We could talk about this kind of stuff, but I know you got a day to go out and accomplish. So I just want to say thank you so much for helping out some of these folks, and it's some really good stuff. And can't wait till we can get everybody back together again, and all this social distancing is gone, and we can get back to normal. But so thanks again, Dee Dee. I really appreciate it. And thanks, everybody, for joining the call. And we will see y'all next week. And y'all take care and have a great week. Thanks, guys.
You too. Thank you.